Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, joining us right now to talk some baseball is play-by-play announcer for MLB on ESPN. It's John Shambi. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Boog?
Am I eligible for the tickets?
I think you are.
I think that you'll probably be able to win the tickets. Why not? Are you the 10th caller, though? That's the question. The question is, are you the 10th caller?
Yes, very important.
Right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll recuse myself from this. That's fine.
Yes.
Where are you guys broadcasting? Are you actually, you guys should be at home plate, right? I mean, shouldn't you?
We're down the third baseline.
Yeah, we're right next to the Cardinals dugout.
I mean, is that acceptable, down the third baseline?
It's fine. You guys should be at home plate. You guys are deserving of being at home plate. The esteem that I hold you in.
Yeah, but they've got a bunch of tarp, and they've got. I mean, they won't even let you touch the grass.
Yeah, they won't even let us on the field. We're in the dirt, which kind of sucks. But it is what it is.
But here's the thing: is
you're on the warning track.
Can you explain this to me, though, Boog? It was actually warmer at 6 a.m. than it is at 9 a.m.
How's that possible? The sun's out.
It makes no sense. Like, it's at one point, I took off my coat. I'm feeling good. The sun has come out, and it's colder.
The sun is actually warming the planet right now.
I mean, I guess there are some things called cold fronts or whatever, but I don't understand it. It should be warmer right now.
That's right. Well, there's a low-pressure system coming in, and the barometer is dropping.
Well, it is the fall. It is the fall, fellas. All right, so talk about these first two games and what you saw calling the games on Westwood. And
he didn't see a lot of hits.
You didn't see a ton of hits, tell you that. But, man, it was incredible what we saw from the starting pitcher, Sanchez, and, of course, Max in game two. They've won four consecutive games in the postseason. They've allowed five runs total in those four games. Look. Obviously, Anibal Sanchez is good, and he can go out there and beat anybody. Max Scherzer is one of the best on the planet. He can go out there and beat anybody. But what they have done to not allow hits in the first six or seven is just incredible.
Well, so what I would say is, look, if you were to talk to people going into the playoffs about the Nationals being a dangerous team and why are they a dangerous team, you know, we've kind of run into the ultimate scenario. And now in the first two games of the LCS, they've gotten really good starting pitching because they do have elite starting pitching. But, you know, if you walk it back for a second and just think about broad scope, this is a Cardinal team that was 10th in the league in runs per game. So now you have really good starting pitching going up against what has been a slightly below average offense. More often than not, an offense of this level does not find its way into the postseason. But here they are. So, and then the other thing is, especially against someone like Scherzer, you gotta have, like, even though Scherzer dealt against the Dodgers had the type of lineup that normally has a real good shot against Max because it's loaded with lefties. Like, Max Scherzer's career, he is elite by demolishing and devouring right-handed batters, and then he kind of treads water against the lefties, even at times is slightly below average against lefties. They don't have enough on the left side, the Cardinals, to make it an issue. Now, Strasser's, I think, a little more neutral. But, I look, you know, again, it's really good starting pitching. And then the other part of the Nationals team that people don't talk about, fellas, they can put it on you. They scored the second most runs in the National League this year. Like, it's a good lineup. And, you know, now it's healthier than it's been. So here they are. And they're the better team.
And the other thing is, Boog, he was maligned during the regular season, and I think it was deservedly so. But Davey Martinez is managing differently, and this may be coming from the front office too. They're not using their terrible bullpen. They're using Corbin out of the bullpen when needed. They're using Max out of the bullpen when needed. They're using Strasburg out of the bullpen when needed earlier in the wild card game. It's a different type of team in the playoffs.
Yeah, you don't have to use as many guys. You can because of the way that the off days work, it changes things. And now, you know, a smaller percentage of guys can be used. But I mean, even in that case, you know, that everybody in that bullpen at one time or another, for the most part, even Dew, has not been great at one point. And I would make the point that in a small sample size, even, you know, guys who haven't pitched that well. Now, I personally think Sean Doolittle is really good, and it would seem that he's found his fastball and his mechanics, and he's also healthy with that knee, and Hudson has good stuff. And overall, your point is right. He's going to manage it different. I mean, if he's bringing Corbin in for one batter in that spot, he's doing it differently. So, they're in really good shape. I mean, when you look in League Championship Series, it's best of seven. When the road team has taken the first two, it's 20 for 20.
Right. And was the stat you threw out, Case? 88% now they've got?
I like 20 for 20 better than 88%.
Yeah, I like 100 better than 88.
That is better.
But you're right. I mean, being able to go to St. Louis and winning those two the way they did, didn't score a ton of runs, but didn't have to. Got timely hit.
Yeah.
Great pitching. Now you come back and it's Strasburg and Flaherty. And Flaherty was arguably the best pitcher in baseball in August and September.
Yep.
But you know what? The Cardinals are going to have to score runs to beat Strasburg. So this should be a great matchup tonight.
Yeah, and they just won a game five that was started by Walker Buehler. It's not like they haven't had to face elite pitching before. So I don't think that, you know, Rendon or any of those guys are waking up and they're worried about facing Flaherty. I'm sure, you know, that there's a healthy dose of respect there, but, you know, they're at a point now where they got a dude going for them tonight in Strasburg, and they're in really good shape.
Now, Boog, I agree with you, but it's not like they beat Walker Buehler. They beat Clayton Kershaw.
Well, and Joe Kelly, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But we've been talking about it for about a week and a half now, Boog, is that it's kind of surreal what they're doing, because we're so used to the Nats blowing it in game five or not even getting to game five, in those four previous series. And this is just a different team. It's been a different vibe all year long with the, you know, guys dancing in the clubhouse or in the dugout after home runs. It's just a laid-back atmosphere with these guys, and they truly believe. You can see it in their eyes. And the way they play, they're laid back.
It's kind of surreal. It is, but there's also like, I don't think you guys dig on this vibe as much as I do. But like, at some point when this is over, like, I would encourage you to sit back and realize that what you're really watching is the opposite of the thing you complained about the other four times. And that there's just randomness here. So as much as you guys wanted to sit there and talk about, oh, those teams didn't have what it took, blah, 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 nah, man, they lost in game five. Like, most of the time, if you lose in the final game of the series, you just lost. You weren't flawed. You just lost. It wasn't you didn't have what it took or what, like, all the narratives that get built up. And, like, in order to lose, like, sometimes weird stuff happens, man. And on the flip side, like this year, things are going right, and they're good, So
That's a good point. Randomness is a good word. In those other four series, what could go wrong did go wrong in those game fives.
I mean, if you go way back, they were a strike away.
Yes.
Strike away.
So randomness is a good
strike
word.
Away.
That's baseball for you.
And then you're getting the good end now.
Yes.
By the way,
getting the good end of it now.
It's not over yet, though. Anything could happen in these three games.
Come here and let me hug you.
Boog, could our guy Dusty Baker actually get hired in Philly?
I think he could. I mean, I think that was, I mean, like, Davey, obviously, they are where they are. Letting Dusty go is a mistake. I mean, this is one organization that has shown in the past the way they've handled the managerial stuff. Man, do they not value the manager in terms of the way they paid, the way they've handled the contract. They should have just kept Dusty. And I don't mean that in terms of that they shouldn't have hired Davey. I mean it like in terms of where that was. Like, why would you get rid of Dusty? Did a great job. Um, I don't know whether he it seems a little bit of a stretch in terms of the fit, in terms of, you know, Gabe Kapler is in on, you know, the philosophies that, you know, that are espoused by Matt Klentak. I could tell you that. And I just don't, but I mean, Dusty knows what he's doing. I don't know if, you know, sometimes you need a different voice. And I'll tell you this much. For all the teams Dusty Baker has managed, it's really, really hard. And this is completely anecdotal, but it's hard to find a player that would sit there and tell you off the record, man, I didn't like playing for Dusty Baker.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to find him. It really is. They all like playing for him, man. They do.
Boog, what's the outside the D.C. sphere view on Dave Martinez? We know the Wolves were out for him when they were 19-31, and now he's got them two wins away from the World Series here in D.C.
I think overall that there's a patience that he showed, and I think he stayed the same. Like, that was the one thing, you know, that I got from their team, and just overall, is just, even when it was bad, he stayed Davey Martinez. So, I think, look, he deserves credit in this spot for the job that he's done. He stayed steady, and I don't know nationally, I don't know that I could say that there is a general perception in terms of the team. I think, you know, everybody got caught up in Harper leaving and the bad start. And I picked them to win the division. I still thought they were going to win the division. So, like, I picked them to finish first in the East, and that didn't happen. But they still, you know, that sort of furious finish from June through October 1st, and, you know, played well enough to get in.
Well, Boog, hopefully you're only in town for two nights.
All right, if you say so. I mean, I want to call some baseball and watch some baseball. But I hear you. I know what it's like for the home fans. They're anxious. And then, I mean, could you imagine the Nats and the Yankees, or even the Nats and the Astros? Yeah. Whatever, be crazy.
Nats Yankees would be unbelievable. Hopefully, we see that. All right, hey Boog, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
boys. All right, you got it.
You're the man.
All right, coming up next on a Victory Monday presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of Priorities for Life. You can shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Morgan Moses will join us, and we will talk about an actual victory. The Redskins' right tackle joins us next as we broadcast live from Nationals Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Victory Monday, presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of Priorities for Life. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. And finally, we get to talk about a victory with Morgan Moses, our next guest, who joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Morgan Moses, as always, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Good morning, Morgan. Congratulations.
Good morning, fellas, man. Thank you.
So, Morgan, before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty of the game, I have a kind of an off-topic question, but we're giving away these tickets courtesy of Papa John's, and I was wondering, Morgan Moses, you're a big man. How much pizza can you crush? What's the most pizza you've ever crushed
in one sitting? Interesting.
Are you like a six-slice guy? Do you crush the entire pie? What do you do?
I'm not really a pizza guy, but, hey, the cheese sticks from Papa John's, that's my thing right there.
The cheese sticks are really good.
Like, you're big on the sides instead of the...
You're right.
Eat 100 of those.
They're so good because the cheese sticks don't have the sauce. So you like just the cheese action. Very nice. What is your number one biggest thing that you crush food-wise?
I'm a pasta guy.
He likes the carbs.
Pasta and seafood.
Is there a certain restaurant in town that you like?
Like Italian-wise, nah. I would say Filomeno's.
That's fancy. That's high
that's
dollar right there.
Filomena. Oh, yeah. Filomena. Georgetown. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That place is really good. Yeah.
So, Morgan, let's talk about kind of the differences with Coach Callahan this week. A lot of it was discussed. Was it dramatically different this week in practice, Coach Callahan, from Jay Gruden, or is it maybe a little overhyped?
I think the biggest thing was the attention to details. You know, like we talk about, you know, he had the referees out there. We talked about, you know, coming together and playing complementary football, and that's how we practiced. We practiced this week. We had some competition periods against good on good. I'm not to knock Jay, because when Jay was here, we had a lot of people hurt, so we really couldn't practice. I mean, you know, if your whole D-line is hurting a little bit, you really can't go hard. You got to kind of, like, temple down the practices and kind of get guys ready for Sunday. But, you know, we had some good periods where we just went good on good and situational football. We practiced starting on the 1 yard line and coming out plays. I mean, just like little things that, you take for granted, those little things that might happen like two or three times a year. But, you know, you got to have a plan when those things pop up.
And actually you had that situation in the game where you started, you know, backed up. You guys ran
exactly.
AP on the first one, but then you actually had a big play, shocker, to Terry McLaurin to get you out of that zone. Talk about that rookie. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Dude, the most impressive thing about him, man, is that he's humble, man. Like, the guy, he doesn't talk a lot. You know, he comes into work just with his head down and he just works hard, man. And then, you know, a lot of people are, like, surprised, like, where this kid come from, you know. And, when you play at a school like Ohio State and you got, you know, other great receivers around you, you know, you kind of get blanketed a little bit, but the guy's, man, truly been a professional since he's got here day one. And, man, I just encourage him to keep on getting better and better.
Morgan, did Haskins give you guys all the intel early in camp and in the OTAs, basically say, look out for this dude. I played with him in college. He's going to do big things, and he's following through on it at this point.
Yeah, no, and, you know, the crazy thing about it, man, you know, as a rookie that's only been six games in, I mean, he's every game he's getting the best corner that they got. Every team we play, he's getting the best corner that he has. And he just makes plays, man. The separation, his route running is the most impressive thing, man, is his route running coming out of breaks and making everything look the same. But, you know, like I said, man, the sky's the limit for the kid.
Joined by Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. All right, offensive line-wise, you mentioned some of the attention to detail in practice. Kudos to you guys. No penalties yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, man. You know, it's one of those things that kind of everything plays into it, man. You got a running back like Adrian Peterson that hits the ball. You know, he gets the ball and he heads straight downfield. And, you know, he doesn't shuffle his feet and bounces and, you know, bounces things where, like, you know, us guys can get into those, you know, 50-50 call, holding calls and stuff. So I think, you know, just having that guy, man, hit the hole like he hits the hole, man, it's like, I mean, it's nothing like it.
What were you thinking when Case Keenan was running around, spinning around like a top late in that game, and he just kind of threw the ball up for grabs? I'm going, wait a minute, veterans aren't supposed to do that. That's a rookie move. And luckily for you guys, it was thrown a little short. What were you thinking on that play?
I mean, you know, obviously there's some things that we got to correct. You know, we're not a finished product by far. I think we're taking a good step forward to, you know, just, like I said, the attention to details and things. So it's just some things that all of us as players have to go back and look at and things that we can get better, man.
You know, another big factor is that you guys had your starters intact from the offensive line. So it's got to, you know, not to take a shot at anybody else, but when you have Brandon Scherff back in the lineup, it makes a big difference.
Oh, I mean, obviously you got, you know, if not the best offensive guard, right guard in the NFL. And so obviously when you lose a Pro Bowl caliber player, you know, due to injury, you know, obviously that hurts, you know, and our guys do a great job of preparing. And, you know, I feel confident with any player that's playing in our room. But, you know, he was a leader like Brandon, and, you know, what he brings to our offensive line and just our team in general, you know, is definitely a big hit.
Morgan, when you know that the opponent you're about to face is allowing 175-plus yards of rushing per week, what's that like for you in the scout week leading up to it when you know it's an opponent that just cannot stop the run, where you guys can just go impose your will on them throughout the game? And that's what you did with Peterson getting over 100.
You know, obviously, you know, we've had our struggles as well. So, you know, we hadn't ran the ball well until this game. And, you know, to be honest with you, you look at those first couple of drives, man, they got a tackle for a loss on a handoff. It wasn't too pretty how we started, but we made some adjustments and some things. And coach, you know, like I said, man, coach stuck with the run, man, like those 1 yard runs that everybody, you know, oh, it's 1 yard, it's averaging 1 yard. It's like those are the plays where, like, you play action the next play and you get a 40-yard gain to Terry McLaren down the field, you know. So when we look at those 1 yard runs, man, we're still wearing the D line out. We're still, you know what I'm saying, we're still hitting people, wearing them down. And then you get one of those plays like that from our 1 yard line and you just, you know, 40 yards play action pass.
I'm curious, and I don't know if you had interaction with him. How did Colt McCoy take the demotion? Because a lot of people felt great. Colt gets his opportunity. He goes up against the Patriots. He gets a start. And then you guys go back to Case Keenum. I know he's a professional, but how did he handle it?
You know, one thing, you know, like Coach Locker is right beside mine, man. And one thing about him, man, you know, he's more than just a professional, man. He's a guy that's been on this team for 6 years. And so I've got to know him since my rookie year, and you know the guy's just a God-fearing man, and he has his beliefs. And you know, when things happen, man, he just keeps on going. Because you know, I sat there and talked to him. He said one thing. He said, look, I still got to prepare myself because you just never know what's going to happen. And obviously, you know, the competitor in him is probably, you know, upset. And but you know, I know the guy. He just wants what's best for the team, and so. You know, he's definitely a great individual to have on his team, and his leadership qualities are definitely great as well.
Joined by Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, talking about their 17-16 win over the Dolphins. So one of the things that was reported was that in practice now there are developmental periods, and people immediately think that, well, that's about getting Dwayne some reps. Tell us about these developmental periods and how that is different from the practices of the past.
I mean, it's nothing about Dwayne or anything like that. You know, the developmental period is basically a period. You know, obviously you can't get but so much work done on the field, hitting guys and stuff like that. So you have to have these periods where the stuff that you didn't get to in the team period that you can get to in that developmental period, working on techniques. Like I said, you know, working on the rookies that are not playing, that's coming along. You know, everybody can, you know, critique their technique and get better. And so that's what those periods are for.
So next week, I don't know how much you know about the Niners, but there's only two undefeated teams in the league. One's the Patriots, and the other one's the Niners.
Yep.
And they got some pass rushers. You're going to have to be working hard. D Ford,
yep.
Bosa. Armstead, all those guys. So
all first rounders, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
So, what are your thoughts on the Niners, and what do you know about them and their pass rush?
You know, obviously, you know, just watching spurts of them on the, you know, up on the TV and things like that. They're a dominant defense. They got Pro Bowl caliber players on each level of their defense, obviously. And you know, for us, it's like you got to continue running the ball, man. One thing that I know, you know, when you run the ball successfully, that dives down the pass rush. So, you know, right now we're going to go in today and look at the film from the Dolphins game. We weren't perfect in that game either. So we got to look at some of the great things that we did throughout that game and, you know, look at some of the things that we can correct as well.
Hey, Morgan, what's going on with your Cavs? Out of the gate fast, 4-0. They've dropped their last two, including this weekend's loss to the U. Duke up next. What's going on with the Cavs?
You know, obviously, they just got to bounce back, man. Obviously, they lost a hell of a player
Friday. Yeah.
Bryce Hall, man. And, you know, obviously, my prayers go out to him and his family and him and his recovery. But I have total belief in my Hoos, man. You know,
obviously, you know, we lost to Notre Dame, a great team. We lost to a Miami team that's always going to have athletes, you know. And I think their head coach made some good adjustments from that game they gave up 45 points to Virginia Tech. So, you know, I believe they're going to bounce back, man. They'll bounce back.
How bad is Bryce Hall's injury? Is it a broken ankle or was it something else?
I haven't truly heard, but I'm seeing that it's probably it's done for the season. So, and obviously, you know, you got a guy that thought about leaving to go to the NFL last year and came back to make his mark, just not only as a football player, but, you know, keep on changing the culture there as they keep on getting better on the football field as well. So anytime you lose a captain, a guy like that, that's, you know, I think he's projected to be a first rounder. You know, it hurts the defense, and then, you know, obviously teammates are in mourning with him as well.
Morgan, thanks a lot for joining us. Congratulations on the win, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always, man. Thank you, guys.
Yep, thanks, Morgan. It's Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built the city. We'll talk to his teammate, Chris Thompson, coming up at 9. Then the voice of the Nats, Dave Jagler, will join us coming up at 9:20 as we broadcast live from Nationals Park, the site of Game 3 of the National League Championship Series, right here on The Fan.
You mentioned the Virginia-Miami game to Morgan on Friday night. And then, of course, Cakes and I have been talking all year how we have over 4 wins for the Terps.
Yes,
and they're
we do.
Sitting at 3-3.
Dicey.
And one of the games that we thought we could win was beating Purdue, because Purdue was starting Jack Plummer, no relation to Jake Plummer, as their backup, because Elijah Sindelar is hurt. And also Rondell Moore, who's probably the best receiver in the conference, was also hurt. He got hurt on the same play. But the Boilermakers boat race the Terps.
They did.
And just look at the remaining schedule for the Terps. All right, maybe you say IU is a possibility because it's a home game, but Indiana's better than Maryland. And none of those other games that I look at on the schedule is a win. I mean, they're going to lose to Minnesota. They're going to lose to Ohio State. They're going to lose to Michigan. They're going to lose to Michigan State.
Probably, yes.
They're going to lose to Nebraska. And I think the only game you have a grasp at is Indiana. But, again, Indiana's a better team. They just have to hopefully get Josh Jackson back for that
game. So now we play Howard again?
Now we're just grasping at a push. That's all we're hoping for is a push.
Because they're not going to get 5 wins.
God, I was buying into Loxley in the start of the season, and they got ranked.
I can't believe they were ranked. What a joke that was.
Hey, they drummed the number 21 team in the country at that point.
Counterfeit.
Syracuse. We knew later that was a counterfeit ranking for Syracuse. We understand. Look, they've taken some lumps of late, and hopefully they can gather themselves and get a home win against Indiana. But, yeah, wins are going to be tough to come by for the Terps with
you
that schedule.
You know how the NFL, it changes year after year? Like half of the teams that were in the playoffs – don't make the playoffs the next year.
Right.
College football is so predictable.
Right.
Just chalk up Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma.
Clemson. Yeah, those are your teams that are going to be there at the end.
Because Georgia was supposed to be a contender, but they got upset over the weekend.
Yep, South Carolina beats them.
Right, so how's that predictable?
Not predictable. I didn't throw them in the four. The four teams are Clemson.
Well, a lot of people thought Georgia could be one of the Final Four.
Okay.
And they still can.
Okay.
They looked awful.
My point is that those top teams are always there.
Well, of course.
Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson.
They get the best players.
Yeah.
No shock. But
now, LSU actually has a shot this year.
Absolutely.
I've got 3 LSU players on my college fantasy team.
Jelly, out of zero.
I've got Burrow,
my team stink,
quarterback. I don't know if he's a true Heisman. Is he a true Heisman candidate?
Yes, 100%.
Contender, and I've got 2 of the receivers.
That's good.
That is a fantasy.
You know what?
Well, the best thing they did was hire Joe Brady away from the Saints, this young guy, I think he's 28 or 29, to control the passing game, and they've completely switched their passing game to a quick strike, spread it out type, because they've got receivers. Now, they probably don't have receivers on Alabama's level, but they're not far behind, and Burrow can sling it. So now they're an explosive quick strike passing game, whereas before, under Miles, all they did was run, run, pass, and they win game 17-16. But that's the best hire they've made, and they are a completely different offense.
Right, you have to be able to score.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it. Alabama, and Tua's got a ton of touchdowns passes this year.
Threw his first pick this year.
But Alabama scores a ton of points. Clemson scores a bunch of points. Ohio State does. So if you're going to be one of the top teams in the nation, which LSU is trying to be, you need to score.
Okay, Indiana next week at home. It's a 3:30 game. But don't know about the availability of Josh Jackson. But Indiana's got a pretty decent quarterback. This kid Penix is good. Mm-hmm. They're not going to beat Minnesota on the road. Minnesota is undefeated for a reason. Michigan, they're not going to beat. Ohio State, they're not going to beat. Nebraska, Michigan State.
Right,
so that's their only grasper is the
push. Here's going to be my new bit.
Four is the push.
How much
did you guys throw on Maryland?
Ask Jason. He knows. He knows all the numbers.
I think we put total. I think we put 165.
I'm more of the creative concept guy. He's the numbers guy.
I don't even think you're a creative concept guy.
No, I'm sorry.
Hey, do you want to throw cash on this?
Not always. Not necessarily. Here's my new plan. My new plan going forward to recoup the money that I'm going to lose on some of these season-long bets is to, and I'm sharing this with everyone, this is not a secret, bet against Rutgers for the rest of the season.
Fade Rutgers.
Whoever they're playing.
Or UConn.
I don't care how big the spread is for whoever Rutgers is facing. They are god-awful. They are the worst. If they're not the worst, they're one of the bottom five worst teams in all of Division One football,
of course,
in the country.
They shouldn't even be FBS.
They're an embarrassment. They shouldn't be allowed in the Big Ten. That's how bad they are. They got boat raced by Indiana over the weekend. Who does Rutgers face next week? I need to know who I'm betting on to just give the boots to Rutgers, because that's what's going to happen.
Let's see who Rutgers plays next week. They play Minnesota at home.
Oh, that's
so they'll get killed there.
Yeah, they're going to get slaughtered.
What's funny is in our survivor pool.
Yeah,
and our power. You know, you're out.
I'm done because I was this close to taking Purdue. I was like, Purdue. I think Purdue's going to handle Maryland, and I talked myself out of it. Said, you know what? You know what's a better play than that? Iowa at home, who can never score on anybody against a top 10 team in Penn State.
Yep.
So that buried
bad
me.
Bad move.
Buried me.
But at some point, people are going to have to use Rutgers.
Right. I don't know where.
Now, some people used Rutgers against UMass in week one.
Oh, that was smart. That was smart of them.
I believe I did, too.
We used Rutgers.
But they have Minnesota this week, and then they play Liberty.
Liberty will beat them.
Liberty will probably
beat
them.
Liberty's decent.
No, Rutgers is not going to win the rest of the year.
No.
Could you imagine being one of the players? You're excited. You're playing on a college football team. You lose 52-0 to Michigan, 48-7 to Maryland, and 35-0 three straight weeks.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I mean, those are some beatdowns.
It's gross.
Well, not only that, but their quarterback decided to redshirt, so they're playing a backup quarterback.
Right, so did their running back. Their running back said, you know what? I'm redshirting. I don't know why he didn't just say, screw redshirting. I'm transferring.
Well,
I need to get out of this hole.
Because he's not good enough to transfer anywhere else.
Maybe he's not.
Hold on. I'm looking at Maryland. Let me see. What do I have? Rutgers here. Rutgers. Oh, I haven't used Rutgers yet.
why
did I do that?
You might be
why
in
did
trouble.
I use them against UMass?
You know what? Sayonara to your Big Ten.
So you know what I got to do? I got to wait until the very last week, and hopefully everyone's eliminated. I can't use Rutgers until the Penn State game, which they won't win.
I'm sure they're going to beat Penn State.
Oh, that was a terrible miscue.
Can you please tell me that we did use Rutgers? I'm pretty sure that Dylan basically runs the show, my son.
You were smart. You used Rutgers in week one.
Well, everybody who had an SEC team, they looked at Vanderbilt's schedule, right? Because you have to, when you're in these survivor picks, you have to look at the schedule and say, well, this is the guaranteed winner, even for a team like Vanderbilt. And everybody took them this week against UNLV at home, and they got spanked.
Yeah, UNLV is so bad, Rutgers might beat them. And UNLV beat Vanderbilt.
I remember.
That's embarrassing.
Dylan and I were like researching. We clicked on like UNLV's schedule and we looked at who they were getting losses to.
Right? Oh,
they're like,
awful.
Well, they're gonna. There's no chance they go on the road and win in Vandy. And literally, the only thing that was the bright spot of it was that everybody who had the SEC had Vanderbilt, so everybody's out there in the survivor. It is amazing that you're 7 or 8 weeks into a survivor pool where you're doing three conferences,
and some people
are out. So Cakes lost all three conferences.
I don't care about that pool anymore because I'm out. But in a pro survivor pool, is it unethical with four people left to start talking chop? I don't think it is. I'm going to start the chop talk. I'm starting it right now.
How many people were in
four? I think it were like 20-some people. There are four left. I think it's.
I mean, is it worth chopping?
I don't even know.
Like $200.
I forget how much. I don't even know how much the entry fee was.
You're gonna chop $200?
Yeah,
so
probably
you win
not.
50.
I'll probably make a terrible pick and get eliminated next week. This is my lot in life.
Oh. Anyway, so it was a downer to watch the Terps this past weekend. And you knew when they were down 13-0 early, yeah, it was over.
Well,
because there's no way Piggy was going to bring it back.
Well, hopefully the Nats, due to the Cards, what the Boilermakers did to the Terps over the weekend.
That would be nice.
Right behind us in just about 12 hours. That would be nice. Just to have a laugher. Strasburg comes out, gives you seven and a third strong, solid innings. Avoid the bullpen for the most part and get that third win.
Don't you wish you had grass like this in your yard? Grass.
Mine's pretty close to this.
Yeah, see? Yeah, he's...
That's what sprinkler systems do for you.
Yeah, I would think.
But this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean,
the chemicals.
Like
no. Mine's passable.
I guarantee he's got patchy. He's got a little patchy.
No, I actually have a yard service. I mean,
there's no patches?
No, it has to look decent.
All right, good.
But I'm cool with
is
decent.
It yellow?
It doesn't have to. There, like the backyard is a little dicey.
It's a little yellow.
I mean, my kid's shooting lax balls all over the place. I still have the trampoline that I need to remove.
Now, does your lawn service?
Does yours have dog poop in the backyard?
No,
too?
I scooped that up. I got two.
Well, that's good.
Got to take care
of
that.
But does your lawn service, do they treat the lawn, not just cut it?
Oh, they aerated it.
They're aerating overseas
and
everything?
Yeah, the whole thing.
All right, that's good. That's good.
I look at the bill and I say, why am I paying this? The lawn just looks decent. It doesn't look great. It looks decent.
Well, it should be better than that. It should look really good.
It's decent to good. It's
well, here's
not
the other
great.
Thing is you don't water it. You rely on that.
Mother Nature. I think Wednesday.
And we're in a severe drought. Well, of course it's not going to look good.
I think Wednesday.
Go ask Lauren Ricketts. We're in a severe drought.
Wednesday, there's going to be some rain. So
you
I'm
know
good.
What, Jason? Yep. I'm going to be playing in the Johnny Holiday Charity Golf Tournament today, which is at Norbeck Country Club right across from Jake's house. I'll swing by just to take a picture of his yard.
Uh-oh.
And then you can critique it tomorrow. Yeah.
And get one in the backyard, too.
By the way, I might not be able to take a picture of the yard, though, because he has so many cars probably blocking
I do have a lot
out.
Of cars. There's so many.
Do you have five vehicles?
Let's see. Presently, we have four. Four vehicles.
Did you get
just
a new
four.
Car?
I bought a previously owned car from Farish Pre-Owned, my friend,
which
last
is?
Week. I bought a 2012 Dodge Avenger with 55,000 miles on it.
Who's that
Did you
for?
Part with
it's
the
for
Saturn.
Me.
Your boy Flakes. Saturn. Finished.
The green Saturn's done.
Done. Wow, going to auction.
Good for you.
Going to auction for like $200. Just get it out of my life. I don't want to see it ever again.
So you already dealt it. Papers are done. It's gone.
Gone.
Oh,
the Avenger's in. It's in the Homewood Suites parking lot as we speak.
Nice.
Your boy upgraded.
I guarantee you.
But I'm a little bit.
You got a sweet deal, too.
I got a very nice deal from my man, Ralph Perkins.
He probably just gave it to you.
He did not just give it to me. I wish he would have just given it to me.
Pretty close.
But he did not.
By the way, he was one of the luminaries at Glory Days Grill yesterday.
Yes, he was. Along with Drab T-shirt. Thank you for coming out yesterday. And our man, Tim, the engineer, engineered it yesterday.
Well, Drabby just felt obligated because you were in his backyard. He didn't really want to go.
Rick, I was there all day.
I know, but do you go there on a normal weekend?
I'm at Glory Days all the time.
He loves his Glory Days Grill.
For games? You go there for on Sundays?
Games, yeah, hang out.
He loves the trifecta burger.
When he walked in, the bartender said, Matt!
Knows that guy.
By the way, many people probably don't know Drab's first name is Matt.
It is.
I'll never call him Matt.
It is. It's Matt Cahill.
Never
Matthew
call him
Robert.
Matthew.
No relation to Trevor.
I wish.
You wish you had that flamethrower attached to your body.
All right, of course, Redskins won yesterday. It is Victory Monday presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of Priorities for Life. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk to running back Chris Thompson right here on the Junkies. It's broadcast live from Nationals Park on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.